Hello, everyone. This is Allie.
This is Tiara.
And this is the Goddess Vibration Podcast. We have a special treat for all of you today. Since Tiara did not follow up on her assignment when we were doing the male's perspective on dating, part one and two, she decided to step it up after our episode with Jake Kent, and she has decided to try out speed dating. And I was so excited for this, and I was so excited for her because she's kind of a hermit, and it's so great to see her getting out of the house and expanding and putting herself out there. So today, Tiara is going to talk a little bit about her experiences, and I haven't really talked to her since she went to the event, so I'm really excited to hear her experiences.
Okay, so for the record, I've offered to be the guinea pig because, I mean, so we did, you know, the male perspective on dating part one and two, and I feel like a lot of that was about the dating scene today in 2024 and how difficult it is to navigate, but also how women have contributed to that complicated dynamic because of our behavior. And like, there's definitely truth to that. So I was like, you know, I'm going to take some of the stuff that Jake said about like different ways to approach and how, you know, we need to be more compassionate and understanding from the feminine side. And I'm going to apply these out in the wild and I'm going to see what it's like out there. So I've been doing a couple things actually. I went back on Tinder. And I was on Tinder a couple months for, actually not even 4 months, for maybe like 30 days last year. And then I was like, this is stupid. I don't want to do it. This is terrible. I don't advise anyone do this. So like the guys I was talking to, I just kind of ghosted them all. And recently came back and got back on a couple days ago. So I think at this point, it's been like 4 days. I'm in a different state now. So all the guys that I had originally matched with, I'm no longer matched with, and I've just kind of been, you know, navigating through there, swiping, and I've met some interesting guys and had some conversations, but nothing's really led to anything. I noticed that there's a lot of ghosting, and I kind of get the impression that if you're dating today, or even if you're online dating, like expect to get ghosted. It's going to fucking happen to you. It's not an indication of your worth or you. It's just, that's just the landscape today. Now, I have gone out of my way to try to be a little bit more taking into consideration what Jake said, compassionate and understanding when it comes to talking to guys. And I really don't like to, I don't want to ghost guys anymore. It's fucked up to do that. Now, with that said, they have certainly been doing that to me, and I don't care. That's fine. You know what? Whatever. It doesn't bother me. I just know that me as a person, I don't really want to do that to men. So I tried to be courteous, and you know, with a lot of these conversations that I'm having now, I've sort of just left them open, but haven't heard back from the guy. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. So I also decided, okay, I'm going to supplement that with some in-person stuff. And I went to a rave. Now, I didn't go to a rave with the intention to meet a guy. It's just, I've been into like EDM music for years and years and years. And I joined this EDM group on Facebook. It's like EDM California group or something like that. And I connected with a woman who also likes to rave. So we went to this event in Old Sacramento. It was like a basement, like under a restaurant, and it was like a Halloween EDM trap event, and they had like 5 or 6 DJs, and it was a lot of freaking fun. And it's, I don't know what this is, but I have this thing with Asians, and Allie knows about this, where I either end up somewhere where there's a lot of Asians, or I go somewhere, and if there's Asians, like a lot of Asians there, the only Asian guy that's into Black girls talks to me. It never fails. It's always this way. I don't know why it's always this way. Even when I was younger, it was the same thing. And at this point, I'm just like, okay, well, you know, I have a thing with Asians. Cool, fine. So I met this guy, and I was with my acquaintance. You know, we just happened to be two girls who like to rave. And an older Asian gentleman, he was talking about how he had, actually, he was probably like our age. And he was talking about how he was going through a divorce and like how he went out of his way to tell me that he likes chocolate, like Black girls, like, oh, I like chocolate. Now, I don't typically expect men to tell me that kind of stuff when I'm out and about, but this guy just happened to want to make that known. And, you know, it was a rave. So a lot of us had been drinking or doing whatever drug of choice you want to fucking do. And he was like, oh, you know, you guys are so beautiful. I love me some chocolate. Like, I will take both of you guys home. Like, who wants to go home with me? You want to go home with me? You want to go home with me? And I was so curious because I was like, okay, you don't meet a lot of Asian men who are into Black women. So I had asked him, I was like, what made you into Black women? Or like, how long have you been into Black women? Is it just a new thing? Like, you said your wife was Black. So like, did it start there? He was like, no, I just have always loved Black women, like since birth. And I was just like, wow, interesting. Now, it's funny because I remember back when I was single before my marriage that I had met some men, and these were white men, that would say things like, they would express that they were into Black women, but they would also express sometimes that it was like a taboo thing. Like, I remember talking to some guy who was like, you know, I've always been into Black women, but I just never had that chance and never had that opportunity. Or like, people would look at me funny if I brought a Black girl home, but it's always been there. So it's just curious to see that a little bit. And I was talking to a guy on Tinder about how Black women are having their moment this year, because it seems like that interest and attraction for Black women that men of different races apparently carry somewhere is starting to be seen and known. And I see all these TikToks about Black women dating all these races of men, and they're just like, it's our year. And I'm like, shit, let me get into this. And, you know, I want to be a part of this too. So that was interesting. But the really fun event was this event I went to that was a speed dating event. Now, I have not done a speed dating event for, oh God, maybe 15 years, my last speed dating event. And that one was very, I don't know, I guess it was like old school style. Like, it was like the girl stays and the men rotate. You speak to someone for 5 minutes and then move on. This one was similar, but it was like the women sat at a table and then you got like a paper with numbers on it, and you put your information on there, and you were essentially putting down the guy's name, putting down his badge number, and then just marking, hey, do I want to talk to this guy again, or do I not want to talk to this guy again? So I had originally signed up for the one that, well, I had wanted to sign up for the one that was like for people ages 40 to 50, because, you know, I'm right there at 39. But it was sold out for women. So I was like, all right, the other one is for people ages 20 to 39. And it was sold out for men, but not for women. So I was like, all right, let me just sign up for this one and check it out. You know, I'm sure it'll be fun. Like, you know, why not? So I feel like I kind of overdressed. Like, I don't know, like I dressed like I was going to a date. But when I got there, the other women weren't as dressed as I was. And there was also more men than there were women, which I thought was freaking weird. Now, I'll have to give it to the hosts because they go out of their way to ensure there's a balance between the sexes. Like, they're like, no, there needs to be exactly 11 men and exactly 11 women. And they even will text you. Like, they texted me and they were like, hey, are you showing up? Like, you know, if you're gonna show up, please let us know, because if you don't show up, then it's going to create an imbalance and that'll be your fault and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, shit. So I just responded that I was going, you know, and kept to my word. And I got there and there was an absolute shortage of women. Like, lots of dudes, maybe 3 or 4 women, but there were maybe 10 or 11 guys. And I was like, wow. So I got the chance to speak to, let me see, maybe 6 or, no, I went through all of them, actually. There was like 10 guys. And it was 6 minutes per man. And there were 3 specific guys where I was like, this conversation is fantastic. And I would love to continue this conversation outside of this. But I didn't necessarily get like romantic vibes from any of them. It was just more like, hey, this is such a great conversation. I would love to have this conversation further elsewhere. So, for example, I talked to a gentleman and I let him know like I had a podcast and I was kind of like exploring the field a little bit because we had talked to someone who had said that women were awful. And so I was like, well, I want to get out here and see what it's like and apply some of his teachings. And he had some really interesting things to say about how dating has shifted, not since the internet or online dating started, but since Tinder, because it was Tinder that kind of made dating go from, hey, I'm really trying to meet someone and get to know someone, to a fling style. Like, and it became more superficial and it became more about looks and about like just quickly swiping through someone, and then you lose from that the art of connection and like communication. And I just thought that was so fascinating. And I was like, no, I would love to continue this conversation outside of this. So I ended up like saying I wanted to chat again with him. I ended up also saying I wanted to chat again with a gentleman. We connected on music because, you know, I'm really big into like the EDM stuff right now, to the point where I'm thinking about like taking a DJ class just to check it out. And he was talking about how he comes from a musical family, but didn't really play any instruments. And then we started talking about musical influences, and to the point where it hit 6 minutes and I was like, no, like I want to talk to you so much more. So I ended up saying yes to him. And then also to a couple other guys where it was like, all right, this conversation's cool. You seem cool. I'd be open to more further chat, but there's no romantic stuff here. Those initial 2 guys, again, there wasn't really much romantic stuff. The music guy, maybe. Like, if we went out and hit it off, I could maybe see it getting romantic. And there was another guy, actually, I liked. The first guy I spoke to, actually, who was a nerd and got me to confess that I'm a closet nerd. And so we kind of connected on that, and he was cool. But yeah, outside of that, not a lot of connection, but it was fun. Like, I had a lot of fun. It was a good time, to the point where I would absolutely do it again, just because it was just, you know, it was interesting to be able to have conversations with men out there and kind of pick their brain and perspective on the dating landscape. I didn't really do too much of that type of conversation just because a lot of the conversations just naturally flowed to different areas and different places. But I liked it. I actually liked it a lot. And I think I'd do it again.
That's fantastic. And Tiara has always said that she's always been one to like dating. So I wasn't that concerned. I was just like, you're just rusty and you're a hermit and you're an introvert. You just need to get out there.
I love hermiting too. I like it too much. I literally had to force myself to go and do some of these events. And I knew that once I did it, I'd probably really like it. So that's why I was just like, man, I just got to push myself and get out there. And yeah, so far I'm enjoying it. So I actually heard back from 2 of the guys I liked. I haven't heard back from one other where it was a mutual match. So there were 3 guys that I mutually matched with where I said, yes, I'd like to talk to them again. And they said yes too. And I've heard from 2 of them. So that's gonna, I don't know, we're gonna probably hang out and see where some of those conversations go. So this is gonna be a continuing series, Tiara's Adventures in Dating. And I'll have many more updates.
I love it. So based on the conversation that we've had with part 1 and 2, but more particularly Jake, were you able to apply some of that conversation that we were having in that episode?
I've kept it in mind, like, especially the stuff he was talking about in regards to being more courteous and understanding and compassionate. And to the point where, like, I have in my mind, okay, if I feel like this isn't a romantic thing or that it's not going to go that way, I need to be honest about that and expressive about that instead of just leading the guy on or ghosting. And so I've been cognizant of that. And again, like, these guys on the outset weren't necessarily men that I felt a romantic connection to, but I would at least like to go on an in-person date to kind of determine whether or not that's truly the case. And then if not, I have no problem saying, hey, I don't feel a romantic connection here, but I'm open to being friends if that's what you want. Like, I have no problem doing that. And I don't know why that's so hard for people, but apparently it is.
Well, in the past, it's, didn't you just either ghost or run?
If it was online and I didn't sense or feel anything anyway, then yeah. If it was an actual date, like it was in person, I would be more communicative. If it was like, oh, I don't feel a connection here, I would at least say, you know, I don't feel anything here. But I've never really ghosted anyone that I've connected with deeply and like we're vibing and it's cool and we like each other. I've never ghosted anyone like that. Like even with my twin soul, I said no to him before we stopped talking because he did like ask me out. And I said no before, you know, we parted ways. So I've never
you
just
said
like,
no before you ran. I thought you just ran. I thought you just up and ran.
No, I gave him like a reason and an excuse. He just didn't, it didn't make sense to him, which I get. But no, I said I wasn't interested. I don't like doing the long distance thing. And then I cut off communication.
Oh.
But that's still, I mean, you know, depending on how you look at that, that's still ghosting, you know?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I haven't done much ghosting. I haven't done much ghosting. Because I don't date. I think that's probably why. I'm not a person who's ever enjoyed dating. I would say because I am pretty good at reading energy, I know immediately if we're going to vibe or not. And that has saved me a lot of time when it comes to dating.
So I'm wondering, especially for guys, I mean, obviously that's not something everyone can do. So I think there are a lot of men out there that can't tell that there's no vibing going on. Which is interesting because I'm starting to be able to tell whether there's a vibe there or not. And I don't quite fully get how you can't tell that there's a vibe there or not from some of these people. Like, I don't know.
I don't know, Tiara. I would say that that's an improvement based on, you know, a guy. Tiara has been so dense when it comes to dating. Like she often says that the guy literally has to come up to me in like get in my face and say I like you and for her to be like, what are you talking about? And she still won't understand. Like that's how dense Tiara has been. So the fact that she is here saying like I can actually am starting to pick up on whether or not there's a vibe. This is like massive improvement for her.
Oh, I've like broken hearts and had no fucking idea that that's what was going on or why that was happening. Like that's literally how dense I was. And yes. One of the guys that I was talking to on Tinder, like we had a fantastic vibe going on and it was really flirty and it was fun. And we were playing like these scenarios. Okay. So, R-rated warning. We were doing scenarios that were oh my God, what is the name of that stupid movie? 50 Shades scenarios.
Oh.
And it was fun, and he was fun, and it was like, you know, we were laughing, but he disappeared on me, and I was just like, dang, like, And that's the thing. It's just like, you could have a vibe with someone and it could be great and they will still go poof. And so there are still some things that I'm not fully understanding when it comes to dating, which like that kind of stuff, like I don't get at all. So I'm still learning the landscape and trying to figure out, like, you know, the differentiating factor between ghosting and not ghosting and what contributes. And is there something that does contribute, or did I read the vibe wrong? Like, I don't know. I just know that, like, you know, those type of vibes you don't come across very often. So, you know, it's kind of sad that he went poof on me.
I think people can go poof for all types of reasons. It could just be they were bored, or they were in a relationship and they were bored and they were just, you know, checking out what else is out there. I'm sure that that's common. It could be some people just get busy. There could be a laundry list of reasons on why people ghost or why people run.
Yeah, and that guy, I was kind of wondering if he was in a relationship, just because some of the things he said, I was like, like the whole thing about him being open to like having someone on the side, I was just like, interesting. And then he had said, I've noticed that when it came to our communications, he would only talk to me during the day, and then in the evening, like, he was unavailable. And I was just like, you know, just some little things there. Not right. That I'm judging, like, I don't, you know, I don't care. That's his business. But yeah, so I mean, you know, it could be any number of reasons for that. I just thought it was kind of interesting that you can have a incredible vibe with someone and, you know, still go poof. Which brings me to this whole thing, because we were talking earlier about divine masculines or masculines in general, and how, like, for the love of me, I cannot figure out their behavior. I have a divine masculine, and to this day, I cannot figure him out to save my life. And so I'm hoping that at some point on this podcast, we can get a divine masculine on, a gentleman who's awakened, who's been doing the work, who knows what it entails, to give us a little bit more of the divine masculine perspective, because I'd be so curious to know how the journey works for them and what their perspective is on it.
Tiara and I were having that conversation actually before we started recording this episode, and every male and every female is a divine feminine and a divine masculine. And Tiara was just talking about, well, we got to find a divine masculine. And I was like, well, technically every male is a divine masculine to someone. And she was like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. But I think what Tiara is more, what she's looking for is what she just said. It's like she's looking for someone who has actually been doing the healing work and has been working on themselves, because unfortunately we are finding that women are more inclined to work on themselves than men are.
Right. And I'm just like, I mean, so I understand that women have that stronger connection to spirit, to source, to the universe, and we tend to gravitate towards that type of stuff and the healing work that that entails. But the masculines are supposed to be doing that too. And I'm sure, you know, you mentioned this earlier, Allie, that societal programming has a lot to do with it. And I think that it does. But at some point, like, you gotta, like, snap out of that and join and meet your feminine at some point, right? Like, I don't get it.
But you also have to understand that we ascend through our emotional body. And how many men are actually in tune with their emotions and or emotional body?
Right. That's a fair point, because they've been programmed, and Jake said this too, to suppress their emotions. Because exactly. Emotions are weakness in their exactly. perspective and eyes. Yeah. So, I mean, that's so unfortunate, because, man, I would love to pick a divine masculine's brain, like, you know? Like, what was this journey like for you? Did you have the dreams? Do you feel the feminine the way we often feel the masculine? Like, I would just love to hear what a divine masculine has to say about that kind of stuff.
Well, if there's any divine masculines who are on the spiritual journey, who has been putting in the work and come across this podcast and want to be a guest, email us.
Yeah, you don't even have to like offer a service or be have a YouTube following, or you could just be a Joe Schmo who's doing the work and wants to talk about it. Like, we would love to have you. We're going to have a lot of questions for you.
And you can contact us on our website, goddessvibrationstudio.com. You just hit that email and send us an email. And if you are willing to bare your soul on this podcast, we are more than happy to have you.
Oh my gosh. I really hope someone responds to this because I want this so bad. I have so many questions. Man, do I have questions.
Yeah, Tiara does. Tiara has been... Full disclosure, Tiara has been going through a dark night of the soul of her spiritual journey, and I am finally seeing her like awaken to the things that she's been missing because she was part of the false ascension matrix. And, you know, she's finally getting curious about the right things. And so I've been so excited for Tiara.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, those dark nights are, they're not fun. And the last one I was in, poor Allie was like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, I can't tell what's going on with you. Do you need an intervention? And I was just like, you know, I'm this close to stripping naked and running into the forest and just burying my soul to the closest tree. Like, I don't know. It was dark. So being able to...
She honestly talked about doing that
too. No, I did. No, I'm going to go live in a hut and I'm just going to sit there and cry. And that's where I'm going to stay. No one will see me again. I will distance myself from all of humanity. And you know what? I'm just going to dig a hole and I'm going to stay there. And that will be my life. And Allie was like, no, you're not doing that. So, you know, I appreciate all her support and, you know, it's meant a lot to me and it's helped keep me going. But yeah, those dark nights will get you. And unfortunately, a dark night, that's kind of just part of the journey, you know? I don't know that anyone can escape a dark night. I mean, maybe you can, but
I think people just avoid it, hence being part of the false ascension matrix.
Right, where it's just the love and light and, you know,
positivity and affirmations, and we only focus on the good.
Right. And that gets that, unfortunately, that ensnares so many, and they end up not, you know, doing the shadow work and the deeper, harder work. And I get it. Like, I get why that's not desirable. You know, I get why so many get caught in that after going through my many dark nights. But at the end of the day, if you really want to get to where you want to be, you're going to have to. To be fair,
Tiara probably would have stayed in the false ascension matrix longer if it hadn't been for like me and her spirit team and my spirit team pushing her and pushing her.
I fought that shit too. I fought back on that so hard. Like, they were sick of me. Like, my team was just like, oh, this girl, we can't deal with her. Like, and I get it. Like, I get it. I totally do. So, absolutely. I second what Allie said when it comes to the support and the way that they've been working with me, pushing me out of my comfort zone. And, oh, man.
She fought back for over a year. She was just like, well, I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing, or I don't want to do deeper work and I don't want to feel uncomfortable. And I was like, well, as long as you continue to say that, you're going to stay exactly where you are.
And you know what? My twin soul did the exact same thing. And once we started getting to like the harder stuff and like, we were working with Allie and trying to push through some of the shadow work. Like, we didn't even get close to touching the shadow work, but he kind of sensed that it was not something he wanted to do. And he chose elsewhere. And I get that. Am I happy about it? No. But I get that and I understand that. And again, he has the potential to be an incredible divine masculine.
Incredible.
He does. And so that's why I'm like, well, I can't talk to him, but I would love to talk to any divine masculine who might be able to like give some perspective from the masculine side on some of that. And like, you know, so.
We would absolutely love that. So again, if there's any divine masculines who is on the spiritual journey and doing the work, we would love to have you on and hear about your journey, because we know the struggles of what it's like for the woman, and we would love to know the struggles of what it from the male's perspective.
Absolutely. And I actually had a dream about him a couple nights ago. So the way that we parted ways was not the best. And I blame myself for that, because I sort of intervened and got involved in things I shouldn't have on his end. Totally my fault. Apparently this is a pattern with prior incarnations that we've had. And it pissed him off. And I get that. I take full responsibility and accountability for that. But I had a dream about him, and it was so funny because I saw him in my dream. I rarely ever see him in my dream these days. I used to dream about him all the time, but these days, not so much. So I was surprised to see him in my dream. And we made eye contact, and I can't tell if it was like a wedding or a party. It was some type of celebration, and he was there, and he was dressed up, and he had on like green, and everyone was dressed in green. Almost like it was like a themed party or maybe wedding, I don't know. And he saw me and he gave me this look that was like the type of look you give someone when you're not sure that they want to see you or you think they might come at you. Like he kind of got like nervous, like he looked at me and then he kind of like froze and got kind of nervous. And I just smiled and I just like kept walking because I wanted to get away from the entire situation. But that was the last dream I had about him. And I was like, okay, obviously there's still something here. We are energetically linked. I know that that's not going anywhere, but it was just so funny to, you know, have that type of interaction with him in a dream. So I haven't had any other dreams about him, but I'm keeping an eye out because I wonder if there's more to that whole thing.
I'm sure that there is. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with the divine masculine, divine feminine connection, oftentimes it happens through soul family. But if you're a person or a soul who isn't part of a soul family, then you can still have divine feminines or divine masculines because you have shared past lives with these other people or souls.
Right. So you end up being connected through the karma that you share. And I guess essentially most people, I mean, you share some type of divine connection to just about any person that you romantically connect with, right? Like either because there's karma or because you're a soul family or there's a lesson there, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, a lesson or, you know, or if you just had, you know, if you've met in past lives or if you were married or family members, it's just like we always reincarnate with similar souls, whether or not we have lessons to learn or karma to clear or, you know, you guys were just, or if the souls during, like when the soul contract is being written, if the souls decide like, hey, we want to meet again in this lifetime, then it will get written in the contract. So that can also happen.
Yeah. And so I think he has a soul agreement with the person he's with now that is tied to a specific lesson. And I'm convinced that the lesson is on his end. And I don't think it's a lesson that he's grasped yet. And I feel like a part of him knows that. So, you know, he chose that. And I get that. Especially if you feel like, oh my God, there's something here I need to learn or there's something here I need to figure out. Like, I get that. So,
yeah. And so we will often dream of, you know, a divine well, divine masculine. I'm just going to say that because I'm a divine feminine. And so just, you know, for simple terms, I'm going to refer to these males as my divine masculine, Tiara's divine masculines, because Tiara, you have more than one, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you do too.
Okay.
And so oftentimes, like, we'll dream about them. Even if we've never met, we'll still dream about them, which is wild.
Oh, I've had many a dream about my divine masculines. Like, yeah. And I think oftentimes there's a message in them. And I think sometimes it's just like, hey, I just want to let you know that this connection's here. Like, and I felt like with my twin soul that oftentimes the dreams that I was having in the past were just like, hey, I'm here. I just want to remind you. Because at that time I was completely asleep. Like, I just, like, the whole connection, I didn't care about it. I didn't really think about it. I didn't acknowledge that it was there. But spirit kept banging it over my head. And so one day I was just like, why do I keep dreaming about this man? And then that's when I got sent on my journey. But yeah, I think those dreams serve a purpose most of the time.
I absolutely agree. I also dreamt about my divine. I dream about my divine masculines often, actually.
Yeah.
So it's a real thing. It definitely happens.
You know, I've seen TikToks about, I have seen TikToks about people like realizing that they have soul ties or soul connections and being completely and utterly annoyed by it. And I get that too, because it's really hard to navigate a connection energetically when the person in the physical either isn't there or isn't speaking to you or has you blocked or ignores you. It can be confusing because it's just like, well, why do I feel this energetically, but this person's acting this way? And that's what drives me so crazy, which is, again, another reason why I would just love to pick the brain of a divine masculine, because I'm just like, hey, do you guys feel this on your end? And then you just like suppress it or ignore it. Like, what is going on over there? Because I have no freaking idea.
Well, I think women do that too, though.
Right, we do. I mean, you know, yeah. like I said, I did for the better part of 10 years ignore that shit. But I came around to it at some point. And at least for my twin soul, you know, we spoke to him about the significance of the connection and the history behind it and why it's there and, you know, what it's meant to serve. And he still chose otherwise. So, you know, I just have questions. Mostly for him.
I was saying that I think you were right. I think he did have some awareness that he actually did have a lesson to learn there.
Right. Yeah. I think he did too.
And I think that's commendable. If you know that you need to go that path because there's some lesson that you need to learn, that's valuable.
That is. That is very valuable. So I can't be so upset about that. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I actually do respect that because he's always had the ability to sense things better than me and intuit things better, and that's what he intuited, and he actually expressed that too. And you know, at the time I was just like, whatever, but now that I think about it, I'm just like, huh, no, you know, he had a fair point.
Another thing that I would love to ask a divine masculine about is their spiritual gifts, because Tiara's twin soul has incredible gifts. He is so talented, and unfortunately he hasn't nurtured them, and it's honestly devastating.
You know, I have known of other men who have gifts who have suppressed them or repressed them or ignored them, like intentionally done that. So I think that maybe there's programming around that, that just kind of men just instinctually are just like, nope. And I think maybe that's what he did.
That's so devastating.
It is. But I've seen that among other men. And it's, gosh, it's so devastating, especially considering Mai Swan's soul. And the things that he can do and was able to do blew my freaking mind. Like, I was just like, what? Like, what? That's incredible. What? You can see energies? You can tell what happened to these energies just by looking at them? Like, what? That is incredible to me. So, like, just, and that's just one example of some of the things he was able to do. But he did intentionally repress those. Which again is just unfortunate.
So that's why Tiara and I would love to find a divine masculine and talk about their journey and talk about their spiritual gifts, because we all have them, men and women. Mm-hmm. I would say that one of my divine masculines, he is so highly intuitive and he gets like visions and they're just so vivid and real. And I'm just like, do you ever talk about this? And he was like, no. And it's because of societal programming. It's so unfortunate and irritating and annoying that,
oh my God, it aggravates the hell out of me.
That societal programming is doing this to people. People who are incredibly talented are just afraid. I mean, Tiara and I were there. We were there. Like, Tiara, especially when she worked in an office, I was like, does anyone in your office know? She was like, hell no. Mm-mm. It's like we were also in the closet. And it was funny when people were telling us, you guys need to start this podcast. We were just like, I mean, we don't want to end up in a loony bin. We don't want to.
Oh my God. I had that fear for so long.
Yeah, we didn't want to be judged or like think, you know, have people think that we were crazy.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think that affects both men and women, especially in our current cancel culture where you can essentially be canceled for just about anything. Like, yeah, people don't want to talk about how they had this massive vision of what was going to happen in their life the following week or something like that. Like, you know, in our society, that stuff gets shunned. I mean, we see people who, in my opinion, I think that there are a lot of people that we shun or institutionalize who simply just have gifts and they don't know that that's what's happening to them. They don't know how to navigate it or how to manage it. And that is my opinion. You know, I don't know how true that is. That's just something I've concluded just based on some of the things I've seen. And it's unfortunate that our society just instinctually labels you as crazy or cuckoo if you have some of these profound and incredible abilities. So it's understandable that some people are just like, nope, suppress, repress, hide, run.
So the moral of the story is that it happens to men and women. And I know that we started off the episode as Tiara's adventures in dating, but this is really all tied together because ultimately, well, maybe not everyone, but I know for TR and I, we want to be with our divine masculines.
Right. Oh my gosh, that whole thing. So it's weird because I feel like if you have a divine masculine or if you label yourself as quote unquote a twin flame, depending on the information you get online, there's conflicting information about how to navigate that. So some of the information I knew I fell upon was about how, like, yeah, you have this connection to this person, but it's not about romance. It's not about being with that person. It's about the lessons that that person shows you. And I was just like, okay, I kind of get that, but why do I still want to be with him? Like, you know, it never fully resonated with me that your divine counterpart was just a lesson and nothing else further. And so those teachings are out there when it comes to navigating divine connections. Unfortunately, that has never fully resonated with me. But it did cause like a lot of mental conflict for me. So please be careful where you guys are getting some of that information when you're trying to figure out how to navigate these divine connections. A lot of that stuff you're going to find is nonsense. I'm just going to let you know right now.
Yeah, I really had to push Tiara to look into that deeper. She was like, well, I was reading this blog and I was like, I don't care what the blog says. What is what is happening within you? And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, exactly. And that's why you need to explore it. And yeah. She pushed back, you guys. Like, I have to tell you, Tiara is stubborn.
Oh, I'm very stubborn. And I fully admit to that. And it must be a family thing because both of my sisters are just as stubborn as I am.
So stubborn.
Yeah. So I don't quite fully know what that's all about, but oh yes. So it's been a lot of inner reflection and recognition and having to change my perspective a lot to even get to that place where I recognize the significance and importance of this connection, as opposed to just repressing, suppressing like I was doing for so long.
So there is a moral to the story, and that is you guys really need to start looking inward and looking at yourself. If you really want to grow, if you really want to become the best version of yourself, you cannot run from yourself.
True. And I do want to give a warning because I got caught up in this teaching too about, and there's probably truth to this, about how some twin flame teachers will say, well, if you want union with your masculine, then you need to do the work. And then when you do the work, everything will align. And I don't quite know how true that is. I know that I fell into a lot of that belief and I put way excess pressure on myself to do the work, to get it done, to go through it faster, to quote unquote fix myself, because I believe that I was the reason why it wasn't materializing or manifesting, that it was something in me for some reason. And I don't quite fully know how true that is. So just be careful with some of those teachings out there that say that kind of thing. And again, use your intuition, because there are people out there that are like making money off of people who want union. And their teachings are so, so questionable.
And toxic.
And super toxic, yes. And don't even get me started on that whole twin flame universe. We're not going to go there today, but just be forewarned.
And that's really what our podcast is about, is spreading truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because again, some of these conversations that we've been having on this show, I don't see being had elsewhere, and they need to be had. So we're going to keep an eye out for a divine masculine who wants to talk about his journey and share his experiences. And the only thing that we ask of you is that A, you're awake and aware, which, you know, many people are, but also that you understand the significance of the journey and have been putting in the work on yourself. That's all we ask. That's really it.
It's a big ass, Tiara.
Is it?
I was partly joking. But yeah, I mean, it's a big ask. It's really hard to work on yourself. Anyone who's worked on themselves will tell you how fucking hard it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's hard, but as long as you like have done some type of work on yourself, like, you know, I'm open to having that conversation.
No, I'm not saying men aren't working on themselves. I'm just saying that statistically, it's easier for women than it is for men.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Which is, you know, why we're putting out this call, because I don't know where these guys are, but I know they're out there. They say they're out there.
And we want you on our podcast.
No, we really do. Be ready, because we're going to have so many questions for you. Like, it'll probably be a multi-part recording. Like, that's how many questions at least I have.
Okay, let's not scare the person.
Okay, I'm not.
They're probably going to hear that and be like, I don't know if I want to go on this show.
Okay, I'm not trying to scare. It's just I could foresee a lot of really interesting dialogue happening.
Absolutely. But I can guarantee you, Tiara is going to have way more questions than I will.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna. I mean, that's just, I already said multiple times that I'm gonna. So, you know, I'll obviously we'll talk in advance and make sure that everyone's comfortable before recording. Like, you know, it won't be like a pressure cooker, but I will have many questions.
Okay, so don't be scared. Please don't be scared.
Right, don't be scared. We're not scary. We'll have a lot of fun. We always have a lot of fun.
We do, and we have a lot of really great guests.
We do. And if you haven't listened to the Male Perspective on Dating, please do check out those episodes, parts 1 and 2. The second episode features guest Jake Kent, and he has some very interesting and enlightening things to say about the male's perspective when it comes to the dating landscape today. So please do check those out. I think a lot of you guys will get something out of those episodes.
Absolutely. So thank you everyone for joining us this week and listening to Tiara's Adventures in Dating and our take on divine masculines and divine feminine. And I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
Thanks, you guys. I'll have more updates soon.